This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Kentucky floods climbed to 28, really tough with more storms coming. I hate to be the bearer of bad news there. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope your weekend was a good weekend. I know as we watch these scary situations for the people, so many are sending in whatever dollars they can, and people are helping the people of Kentucky, but it's far, far, far from over. In fact, the death toll will probably be way higher than that. There's people unaccounted for. There's bodies that were found and haven't been identified. And there's no question it's going to be a long road to recovery, because you can see this beautiful, I mean, Kentucky is just beautiful with the mountains and green everywhere you look. And as you look and you see water that's not really receding, and it will recede, but there's still rain coming. It's catastrophic flooding where it's just pouring into people's homes, and people were crawling up to the very top of their homes and getting on the roof to try to get fire to try to get picked up and avoid such thing as a downed power line or any errant fire that could happen, which would immediately have been doused because of the water. But you do have downed power lines and terrible cell service, because there are places that were so affected, they're inaccessible. And the number of people missing, it's at this point really a question mark. The number I mentioned is for sure the number of those that have been identified. And there's just, I mean, you know, there was this one story, and there were so many stories, but there's one story I heard repeated a couple of times where you had four siblings who had climbed onto their roof to escape the flood water. It was the only place they could be so they could breathe. And they get to the roof, and the roof collapsed. So the family clung to tree branches, and there was this massive swell of water that swept the kids away. They could not hold onto them. They were grabbing them, doing everything they could not do it. Imagine what that would be like. I mean, this is serious flooding. Landslides, mudslides, lots of displaced people. Of course, hundreds and millions of dollars in damages. There's no doubt about that. It's going to take a long time to rebuild some of these areas. The Kentucky floods were caused by they say, 1 in 1,000 year rainstorms that is extreme weather, and the extreme weather hit. So there are shelters, there are people helping, there are, you know, two state parks and campgrounds, and it's not about that. It's about the cleanup and the finding the people and doing all the things that need to happen. I mean, rural water and wastewater systems are overwhelmed, and think about upgrading that infrastructure. And so there's going to be a lot of things that are going to have to be changed, and you wonder, some probably won't rebuild is what I think. Because it won't make any sense for that to happen. They won't be able to do it in some of those areas. Coming up on the show, when we go to the Man Cave in our next segment, I'll talk more about this, but iconic Bill Russell, who was a superstar for the Boston Celtics, but much deeper than that, he died at the age of 88. Some say he was the greatest winner of all time in any major sport. Any major sport, because, you know, he won 11 championships. Michael Jordan won 6 NBA championships. But Russell had 11 and 2 NCAA championships and an Olympic gold medal. And he was such a mentor to so many professional basketball players and people who didn't even make it to the professional ranks. Just an all-around good guy from everything that I've heard about him. I had a chance to talk to him a couple times. But just an icon, absolutely. The Celts won their first title in 1957 and 11 of their 13 championships before Russell retired in 1969. So in 1969, an icon gone. RIP Bill Russell. The other thing I think people are talking about over the weekend, certainly on Saturday morning, was did anybody have the Mega Millions jackpot? Did anyone have a ticket? And turns out, yes, indeed. It's at a place just outside of Chicago by, you know, 20 miles or so, Des Plaines. $1.337 billion was the amount that was up for grabs. So a Speedway convenience store gets $500,000 for selling the winning ticket. So far, the winner has not come forward to claim the prize. I would imagine they're making plans and probably dealing with the shock of it all, right? They wouldn't have found out late on Friday night, perhaps, unless they still don't know at this point. But people were talking about what they would do if they were the lucky winner. What would that be like? Another trailblazer dies over the weekend. It was announced anyway. Actress and singer Nichelle Nichols, but she was best known for Lieutenant O'Hara in Star Trek, the original series. She's died at the age of 89. I love the tribute that her son put out on Twitter, the way he said it. He said, last night my mother, Nichelle Nichols, succumbed to natural causes and passed away. Her light, however, like the ancient galaxies now being seen for the first time, will remain for us and future generations to enjoy, learn from, and draw inspiration. He put that out there also on her official site. He said, hers was a life well lived and as such a model for us all. She was in that Star Trek series and then in so many of the movies. So I want to say she was in six of the movies. And there is no question of in the time that she was on Star Trek, in the very beginning of that series, there certainly weren't many black women who had roles like that. The National Air and Space Museum called Nichols an inspiration to many, not just for her groundbreaking work on Star Trek, but also through her work with NASA to recruit women and people of color to apply to become astronauts. A lot of people don't realize that, but she did help there. So, again, rest in peace. She really was a big part of that original crew when you go back and watch it. And, of course, it's been in syndication forever. So as a kid, I saw that. I watched it with my mother because they would have done those right before my time. But it was popular in the 60s, but even more popular, I think, in reruns and people going back. There are certainly people who are Trekkies and who pay attention to what happened early on in the very beginning of that show. There are other things that people are talking about in this country. Those are just a couple of the things. This week will be interesting because we head into August. Can you believe it? Yes, pretty soon. For some, handful of weeks, and we'll be back in school. Wow. Go to the man cave next.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from MyPatriotSupply.com. My Patriot. Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Andy for that. We are in the man cave. Yeah. A lot of people talking about Bill Russell, people that never saw him play, but certainly have seen footage of him and have heard what he had to say about basketball, his thoughts on dynasties, etc. And he died peacefully with his wife, Jeannie, at his side. There was a statement that was put out on social media. They're going to announce arrangements for his memorial service. But, you know, he was living in the Seattle area, was not well enough to present the NBA Finals MVP trophy in June because of a long illness, but he had those 11 titles in his career. He certainly was a Hall of Famer, and he was incredibly talented. Two straight NCAA championships, I mentioned that. He led the team to 55 consecutive wins. He won a gold medal at the 56 Olympics as well. And the Celtic organization loved Russell during his heyday. No question about that. And he was certainly considered a pioneer, a champion, an incredible human being as he fought for all kinds of human rights too. Certainly one of our greatest athletes in American history. So once again, rest in peace, Bill Russell. That is absolutely part of the convo in the man cave. This is always one of those is mine bigger than you moments. Is my building bigger than yours? Do I have more money than you? It's kind of one of the jockeying for position moments that Jerry Jones has won. He said he would never sell the Dallas Cowboys, but Sportico has it valued at $7.64 billion, making it the most valuable franchise across all sports. Yeah. They have $630 million. So $7.64 billion, making it the most valuable. They have $630 million on the second-place Yankees. So that's where the difference lies. And behind the Cowboys, if we were looking at NFL, the Rams, $5.91 billion. Of course, they come off of winning the Super Bowl. The Patriots right behind the Rams. You want to know who's at the bottom? Bengals, 2.84 billion. That's what it's estimated to be worth. Even though they made it to the Super Bowl, they're the least valued franchise right now, anyway, at this point. Here's the thing. Most of these owners, although they may get in a situation where they have to sell, most of them don't want to sell. They want to keep hold of that property and do the thing that you do when you own an NFL team, right? And right now we're at this point in training camps, so a lot is happening, not just with the Cowboys, but with all teams across the board where they're resolving disputes, they're signing deals, there's surgery notes, like, how about this? This was a very big one. The 49ers defensive line is feeling a little bit of a tug. Defensive tackle Maurice Hurst, with a torn bicep Friday in practice, is going to need surgery. He's most likely going to miss the entire 2022 season. They're going to see after surgery, but it's not going to be an easy thing to bounce back from. Boy, that's a tough blow because he was needed on that defensive line. But this is what happens. This is what happens in training camps. That's why there's the argument about how many preseason games should teams really play, because what is it ultimately doing? For, you know, doing to some of these players, is it wearing them down more, even if it means a little bit more money for the team? At what point, you know, how do you split that? How do you figure that out? And I mentioned this, that we'll do quickie previews of all these teams as we move through training camp coming up next week. We're going to do that. There's no way to really in-depth preview all of them, but we'll definitely preview them, and we're going to do our nail the score thing again this year. So it's going to be a lot of fun, as it always is. Major League Baseball, I went to see the Rays and Cleveland Guardians. It was hard for me to remember Cleveland Guardians play during the day, so I got to see what the Tropicana was like, because I'm in that Tampa St. Pete area, and I have to say it was better than I thought. It lived up better than its billing, according to some of the people that talked to me about the Trop. They lost 5-3, but it was a lot of fun to be there to see it and realize, oh, the air is controlled in here. That makes complete sense. They could get enough people to come. And it is small, the attendance, compared to, I think, some of the other big mega stadiums in Major League Baseball, where they have room for, frankly, a lot of people, and they get the huge, huge crowds, Yankees being certainly one of those. So I told you about going to the game. It was fun. It was fun to get back into a ballpark, et cetera, and see something different where I was in a dome. Austin Hedges had the tie-breaking for the Guardians, 2-run single in the fifth inning. That's what pushed them over, those extra runs there. And the Guardians are in a good position to be poised to do maybe something in the playoffs. All right, other teams that are interesting to watch, of quick note here, it's not just the other New York team, the Yankees, but the Mets are 64-37. How about that? So the Mets win 9-3 over the Marlins. Francisco Lindor had three hits, and they pounced big time, hammering for the sweep. The Marlins not having as good of a season, that's for sure. And then elsewhere, the Phillies, who are fighting for air, beat the Pirates 8-2. Alex Baum was just a triple shy of the cycle. He tied a career high with four hits in that win. The Red Sox beat the Brew Crew 7-2. I talked about the Yankees. The Royals got by the Yankees 8-6. How about that? That's a big win for them because they're having a really tough season. That's a nice one to be able to pull that off. And the Blue Jays, who are on the doorstep of 60 wins, beat the Tigers 4-1. So it's a day of afternoon baseball for a lot of people. Those days will be dwindling as we head into August. You know, you get August and September, and that's it. So there are teams that will be left behind. And there will be teams that will certainly make it, but barely. You know, a lot of times you have those playoffs to get in at the end of the season. Still lots of conversation about the LIV Tour. More PGA players are exiting, and lots of opinions about them exiting. And it's a interesting time because you have one of the really good guys in golf who's now had back-to-back weeks in Detroit at the Detroit Golf Club. That was the latest stop on the PGA Tour. And you had Tony Finau, who won again because he had won the previous week. So his FedEx points, which they had the point system to play for at the end, for millions more, are adding up, that's for sure. He got 1.5 million for his win. But the story does continue to be what's happening with this other tour and losing all these other players who resigned from the PGA because they're basically being told to resign. And what does that do to the PGA Tour, not to have some of those superstars that people want to follow, watch, sit around the green, etc. And it means they lose a lot of power, that's for sure. Because that's people want to see the celebrity-ish golfers that they see and like and are pulling for. So I think this push-pull with this tour and the PGA is pretty interesting to watch, especially coming off of the big tournament at Donald Trump's place in New Jersey over the weekend. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. Small explosive device carried by a makeshift drone blew up Sunday at the headquarters of Russia's Black Sea Fleet on the Crimean Peninsula, wounding six people and prompting the cancellation of ceremonies there honoring Russia's Navy. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the drone explosion in the courtyard at the naval headquarters in the city of Sevastopol. But the seemingly improvised small-scale nature of the attack raised the possibility that it was the work of Ukrainian insurgents trying to drive out Russian forces. And at least 7 shooting victims were hospitalized Sunday after a melee in downtown Orlando, Florida. The violence erupted around 2 Sunday morning after a large fight broke out, according to Orlando Police Chief Eric D. Smith. An unidentified assailant pulled out a handgun and fired into the crowd, injuring 7 people who were all taken to a local hospital. This is USA Radio News. A grieving family in Georgia is demanding answers following the death of a woman who fell out the back of a patrol car. The parents of 28-year-old Brianna Greer said they called 911 because she was having a mental health emergency. And state authorities have released disturbing body cam footage showing how sheriff's deputies in Hancock County responded. Greer family attorney Benjamin Crump says he wants full transparency from investigators.
You look at the video and you can see the reckless disregard they have for her care.
If you or someone you know experiences a mental health emergency, you can now call 988 to get help from mental health professionals. And U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will visit 4 Asian countries, her office said, and did not mention Taiwan. This is amid intense speculation that she might visit the self-ruled island claimed by China. The trip will focus on mutual security, economic partnership, and in the Indo-Pacific region. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Well, I'm excited to introduce you to this next lady. She is in our virtual green room, and oh, the story she tells. Rhonda Colia has written a book called The Crop Duster's Daughter. And we were just talking about crop dusters and just the slice of Americana that it is and what it's like now. And we'll get into that in a second. But Rhonda, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
What made you write this book?
My mother was born in 1918, and because this was such a unique and an unusual area of vocation, I thought that people needed to know what a pioneer she was for crop dusting and crop spraying. I mean, it's just, there's only a handful now. In fact, there's only like 3,000 crop dusters in the United States, or also I think either the United States or around the world. So it's a very limited group. And I just thought, since she pioneered it, she built her own airplane. Oh, she was amazing. I just had to get the word out.
Wow, she built her own airplane, and she figured it all out. What was she like?
She was adventurous, obviously. She loved anything that went fast. She met my father, and she traded Harley lessons for flying lessons. So she learned to ride a Harley. And, of course, he became a pilot, and they married later on, about 3 years later, and they would do dogfights. Mom would paint the airplanes red, white, and blue with white and red dog teeth on them on the front. And then they'd do mock trials and mock dogfights for the community of Bennington, Kansas, which was about 600 people. And everybody in the community and surrounding area would come out and watch. They'd start at opposite ends of the crop field, and they'd fly towards each other. And then they'd come up in a loop, in a lazy eight, split eight, and they'd part ways in the air. It was really cool.
Wow. So for you, did you have any desire to learn the skill that she had?
I did at first, but I know how dangerous it is. And the lifespan of a crop duster when she was doing it was only 7 years. And she was a pilot and instructor for 34 years. And she was a crop duster for 29. So it tells you she had some serious skills.
Boy, no kidding. What do people not know about crop dusting that you talk about in the book?
Well, I don't go into a lot of detail in the book because I thought it might not be as interesting to them as it would be if I just told her life story. But basically, when you're flying over that crop, you're about a foot off that crop. You're spraying at 120 miles an hour, and you do not have room for error. I mean, you know, if a wheel caught the top of that crop, you'd be over in just a heartbeat. If you make a mistake coming up and you hit one of the power lines, you need to go in at an angle so that the prop will cut the wire instead of bouncing you back like a rubber band. And things like that, those are important things to know. Cottonwoods are an optical illusion. They are actually about 2 feet taller than they appear. When you're pulling up, you need to know things like that.
Yeah, no kidding. So in the book, as you say, you talk about her life, and you've already told us some amazing things. What else will we learn in the book, The Crop Duster's Daughter?
She got shot down, and she landed without an incident. She was, I loved hearing her tell this story, but I have her on tape doing that. She was giving a third flight lesson to a nervous Nellie that she was going to wash out because she just did not have stamina for being a pilot. Mom wouldn't be comfortable soloing her. And so she was up with her third lesson, and she knew there was a thunderhead, but it was on the horizon. They weren't going to be gone for very long, and so she was going to be able to take the lesson and get back in plenty of time before the storm hit. Well, this was a fabric airplane that my mother built, and it was a tail dragger. I'm not sure if it was an Aranka or what, but it was a tail dragger. And she heard a pop. And Mom said that it was probably just a clap of thunder. Well, in truth, Mom had just gotten a bullet in her back, and it missed her heart by half an inch. And it came through the fabric of the airplane, caught her in the back, and she knew something had happened, but she couldn't believe she'd been shot. She just knew that she was in a panic, and her body was shutting down. And so she had to land that plane. So she took over the controls and told her she was going to show her and demonstrate how to do a forced landing. And she landed the plane without incident, but she slumped over the wheel, and that's when the nervous Nellie, I didn't know her name, but bless her heart, she saved my mom's life that day. She ran and got help, and my mother actually went into a three-day coma after that, and she had a near-death experience, but she came out of it and resumed her life. I mean, it was she was remarkable. She was remarkable.
Wow, no kidding. And we're speaking with Rhonda Colia. So fascinating. The Crop Duster's Daughter is the name of the book. You can get it on Amazon or anywhere where great books are sold. Did she ever buzz you? Did she ever, fly over your car, just tease you?
God, yes. You bring that up. I was 16 and a new driver. I've been driving with her since I was 14, and I was on a solo drive. And she was ferrying the airplane or going empty, no load in it. And she'd just gotten a short takeoff and landing kit, a stall kit installed. And she was ferrying the airplane from Salina, Kansas, back to Clyde, Kansas. Well, these are back roads, and they're almost all dirt or gravel roads. And I was driving along singing to Barry Manilow because it was prom, and I was all excited. I was going with my boyfriend. And I got distracted. I wasn't watching her signal cues where to turn. So all of a sudden, I was going around one of these curves that just seemed to go on forever. You know, it was a hill that you couldn't see past, and you just couldn't see around. And all of a sudden, I see my mother flying low straight at me, eyeball to eyeball. And she is laughing so hard, and I am panic-stricken, which is, of course, why she did it, to get my attention. And she flies right over the roof of the hood of the car, drops an automatic flag, and gets my attention. So, you know, it's a wonder I didn't wreck, but this is so common for my mother that it didn't really surprise me that much. I got her cue, and I made it home on time, and I didn't go out of my way. But, you know, these are the kinds of things my mother would do, and this was normal. You know, I woke up every morning to the yawn of a Pawnee 235, which was her sting airplane. You know, that was about 5:30 every morning, summer, every time, every day. When the sun was up, Mom was up just before, so she could be on the crop by sun up. She did not waste time during the day because Kansas winds will keep you from getting your job done, and she couldn't do that. So she was up, sun up to sundown.
How fun has this journey been for you to write this book?
Oh, it's been a hoot. Mixed emotions because I miss her, you know. She always made me laugh. She was always in for a good prank or a good joke. She really loved pranks. And she would always leave me silly little notes, you know. And I memorized one. I got one published, a little poem. And, you know, just it's been a journey of reminiscing and remembering close up and personal just how neat it was to have the engines. You know, we had an 1881 highway airport. And at one time, we probably took about 13 planes on ground, you know, that we were either tying down or hangaring. And, you know, it was pretty thriving for a small business. Of course, we had the crop dusting business, too, with two planes. And I got to go up all the time in the trainers. One time, my mother wanted to make a flight fun for me. We were going on a business trip to meet a gentleman at Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. And I love black olives. Don't ask me. I did. And they served some non-pitted black olives. So Mom told me to save the seeds and she would open the window and we could plant little olive trees on the way home, which was her way of making it fun for a little six-year-old girl.
How fun. What do you hope people take away from reading your book about your mom?
I hope they take away the fact that she was a real pioneer. She lived in a man's world and she worked at Beechcraft one time, and she was a foreman, and she found a riveting pattern in one of the wings that was going to fail. And having been an A&E mechanic and building her own airplane, she knew this. And she took it to her supervisor, and he laughed at her and didn't have a clue what she was talking about. And I begged to differ, so did she. So she quit her job when she couldn't get anybody to listen to her, which was a bold move because with 400 kids and a single mom back in the 50s, that was a stigma, you know. It was terrifying. And she did it anyway because her conscience wouldn't let her knowingly create a failing wing. And so sure enough, about a year later, the plane failed. It was the wing. It was the riveting pattern, you know. And it didn't make her feel good because she knew it was going to happen. And, you know, I don't know the outcome if somebody was not surviving it or what the situation was. But the wing failed like she said it would. And, you know, it's just constant people not giving her the credit she was due and not believing her. You know, when she said something was going to happen, good or bad, on that flight, she knew. And she always had a motto, take care of your airplane and it'll take care of you.
Wow.
You know, she had momisms and she brought us up in the milk of God's word, you know, and she had nail soup, which was really fun. She took a shiny 10-penny brand new nail, stuck it in a pot of boiling water, and she opened the Bible on the table to all faith verses that, you know, like faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's my favorite Bible verse because it says so much and so little. And we had to memorize these Bible verses on faith while she was helping us cook the nail soup. And sure enough, she said it turned into chicken noodle soup. Well, of course it did because she would add ingredients when we weren't looking at the Bible, trying to memorize the Bible verses. So she had a way of making things fun, and learning was always fun around my mom. She was a teacher before she was a crop duster.
Wow. Well, what a tribute to her. What an interesting lady, and we can all learn, I think, a lot from this book and from her, the crop duster's daughter, Rhonda Colia. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Kevin Valters joins us now, and he has written what I think is such an important book, Structuring At-Risk Children in Urban Communities. Kevin, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate.
What was it that led you to writing this book? Why did you decide, I think I need to get this book out there?
Oh, because I see all the dynamics, the changing, the paradigm shifts that's going on in all these communities, all in different states, all these kids having all these issues at home, and then it shifts to school, and then it shifts back on the street in the community. And then a lot of our kids are ending up either shot or dead because they don't have the respect for authority figures in the school because they don't have respect or authority figures at home. They just lost the respect and authority and they're fighting teachers. They are smoking and drinking in school. They raping kids. I mean, it's a lot of things that's going on in the school, and I just think we need to change it. Very, very soon, or we're going to have a lot of issues coming up in about 5 to 10 years from now.
And you're somebody who speaks from experience, having been in the schools, being there in the schools, you know what that's like. And you were in an incident. How terrible is that for you? Because you really care about these kids.
Yeah, I had an incident back in 98 when I first started in school where a kid had stabbed me in my face. So,
oh.
Yeah, I was. was at a bad boy school and with Chicago Public School, and the kid has stabbed me in my face. So that was terrible because, you know, my family was like, I don't think you should. I don't know if this is the right field for you, you know, because I saw a lot of dynamics then, and it didn't get worse since then. And I've been with the Chicago Public Schools for 25 years now.
Wow. But boy, do the Chicago Public Schools need, Kevin, people like you. So when people are listening to this, and there's people listening even around the country in other urban areas where certainly they're experiencing similar things, what are some of the things you suggest that need to happen in the book?
One thing that's strong in my book is the parent involvement. We need parent involvement in the schools, especially the fathers. That's a big piece of it to make this paradigm shift in these communities. Once we have parent involvement and holding them accountable for their kids, even if the attendance, you know, holding the parents accountable to make sure the kid is in school, and then I can lead to the structure of how we can structure the schools like I have done for 11, 12 years. I used my book as a guide, and it worked with me and my team for 11 or 12 years. But when I saw the shift starting to change, then I was like, I don't want to be in administration anymore, because a lot of my rules that I knew that needed to be in a place to be effective weren't allowed. So
is that part of the problem? Is part of the problem that there's this push-pull with school boards, with what's actually happening on the ground? Because a lot of times people will read something, and to you it completely makes sense. To your team it makes sense. I've heard this from other administrators. But the people that are actually making the decisions aren't there on the ground, so they don't see it.
Right. I need help from the government, athletes, actors, aldermen, the Democrats, the Republicans, community activists, all of us as stakeholders working together to make this change. We can't do it without one of these being absent. Then if we don't do this soon and very soon, we're going to see all stakeholders, families will be affected in the near future. And we're going to have this global cultural destruction.
Do you have hope that there is a way out of this, like you said in your book?
Yeah, I have hope. And I have a daughter that it needs to work, because I have to send her to these to school too, you know. And just like all these important people and famous people that I mentioned as stakeholders, if they doing homeschool, eventually they're going to have somebody in their family that's going to be affected by one of these disasters that I mentioned, as far as the smoking, the drinking, being sexually assaulted, you know, all these things play an effect. I mean, we need to make this paradigm shift if we want to make this work. And I know for a fact that the father's got to be in play.
Yeah. And we just went through a Father's Day, and every year there's a Father's Day, and people talk about the importance of that. And yet we see that it doesn't get better in many cases, right?
It has gotten worse. So, you know, and I just want to make sure that, you know, if we don't make a change, you know, and make sure the kids change the way they eat, live, think, and because the old way is not working for us. So us as stakeholders, we got to do what we have to do to survive, especially in the future. If not, it's going to be chaos. And then when it gets too late, then they're saying we need to bring in the National Guards or somebody to help us protect us with these kids, or put them on. They got to be in a curfew. They got to be in the house a certain time. And that's not good. That's not good at all. So I know that these troubled kids, students been in trouble with the police. They've been in and out of different homes. They believe, why should anyone try to save them? I had a troubled time growing up. I grew up on the west side of Chicago, so it was tough growing up. It was tough. I saw a lot of things that these kids are seeing But I want to show them that you can make it out, you know? You got to have a drive.
I like that you got to have a drive. And yeah. you said this throughout, you know, this conversation. And again, the book is Structuring At-Risk Children in Urban Communities. Anybody can get it. You can get it on Amazon. Easy peasy. Get it. Pass the copies around. Get other people to buy it. So many schools could absolutely use Kevin's book. But ultimately, and like I said, you've said it throughout this interview, but what do you hope the takeaways are for people who read it?
Okay, so like for the schools that want the how to do the book, then I can, as stakeholders can help me set up seminars. I can visit, do school meetings with the teachers, starting with the administrators on down to the custodians, because everybody got to be doing the same thing in the school or this, it won't work. You know, we can't have a weak link in the chain. Everybody must be saying and doing the same thing. So my goal is to have seminars. I know I have friends in different states that is having the same issue. I mean, there's teachers just don't even want to go to school. And they don't show up. So the kids are running to school. And now you have a shortage of students that's in college that's even going in education. So can you imagine how education will be 5 years from now? We have a shortage now of teachers, and then now we have teachers that are not even going into the field because they see there's no structures in the school. No structure, nothing's happening, kids doing what they want, fighting, beating up the teacher, cursing them out, because they do what you see it at home. You know, mommy being a friend with them, smoking, drinking with them. You know, you have high school girls sleeping with their mother's boyfriend and vice versa, boys sleeping with their daddy girlfriend, and all this have to change. So that's why the parent involvement is very important, because we need that to make the school run successful. And they have to be doing the same thing as the stakeholders, because they part of the stakeholder too.
Yeah. And like you say, for everyone that's listening, listen, even if you're not in this situation, it affects you because it's like a cancer that spreads. It spreads to the suburban areas. It gets worse. And nobody wants to see this. I mean, we really are all in this together.
Yes. Yes. And I need everybody to pull it. We need it all. And I want to start with the head, the government. I know I need aldermen in these communities. And if we get some athletes and actors come in and the community activists, and then we all work together to make this change, because I know a lot of these people say, well, I'm just going to homeschool my kid, but it's still going to affect your family. And we don't want to wait until it affects your family and then they want to make a change.
Yeah, because that's too late and that doesn't work, and that just ultimately pulls down the morale and hurts everybody all the way around. Well, a great book, amazing what you're doing, hanging in there, trying to help, keep fighting the good fight, Structuring At-Risk Children in Urban Communities. Kevin Walters, thanks so much for coming on.
All right, thank you, Kate.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.